blessing. What a blessing. God is good. Okay, well, I'm going to ask you if you would please stand as we read God's word. And since you're going to be sitting down for the next 3 hours, maybe we will stand and read. And we're going to, I'm just kidding, don't walk out on me, okay? It's not going to be that long. But we're going to read one verse on Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26. And we'll read one verse, verse 18, and then we also read verse 28, okay? I love the book of Acts, and Acts 26 especially, you know, it's here the Apostle Paul gives his testimony one more time again. And I don't know about you, but nothing gets me more excited, joyful to hear about how somebody came to know the Lord, how they came to know salvation. And but the second reason that I like Acts 26 is we see Apostle Paul getting a job description of what was exactly he was supposed to do. So verse 28, Acts 26, 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Then we'll look at verse 28. It says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You may have a seat. I don't know if you ever had a job description, but if you had a job, I'm sure you had a job description. I'm sure you all agree with me that it could be quite a mess if you get a job, but you don't know what is you're required to do. And as missionaries, we get to see to do many things and see many things. And I know you can see here in the United States poverty as well, but you know, you in some fields, you know, we get to see things that are really, really impacting. I never forget the year 2001 and 2002. They were terrible years in Uruguay. They just were out of a whole church, one person had a permanent job. And I remember a family of about, they had six kids. They would go out and at night, whatever they could hunt, so they could have something to eat. So Ruth and I, we will get some baskets. We went to the border with Brazil, and we'll get big sacks of rice and flour and sugar, and we'll make some baskets and give out to our people, and so they could have something to eat. And people would come to our house, people that were not even part of the church, they didn't come to church, but so we gave him, but one day I remember this over there you don't ring the bell or knock, but you clap. You go like this, and you know somebody at the door, and of course the dogs are the first ones to come out. But I remember this lady. She was maybe 21, 22 year old, and she came and she called me minister. She said, minister, you know I'm not here. I know a lot of people come and ask you for things. They says, I'm not asking you to give me anything, but I just want to see if you can give me a little job. Because my daughter, he says, since yesterday morning, she's been asking me for a piece of bread. And all I want to do is I just want to give me what I can pick up, those leaves, whatever you want me to do. But I want to go back and give my daughter some bread. What a those were such awful days. And so missionaries, we get to see hungry people. And, we get to see us when we're dealing with this, the rehab center, amazing things that we get to see. And the need, of course, Uruguay is so deep, sadly, that our society deep in drugs. The government sells them. And so it's just really sad. When we arrived there, that was not the case. But now is just such a mess that people can, but help them to see, get out of drugs. And you know, we can go on and as to far as what the needs that missionaries we get to see. And that's why you need to, and I know that you don't just give to missions, but you pray and pray for your missionaries that we would stay focused on what is really important. And it's very easy to lose focus, and because especially in Latin America, we have what is called liberation theology, very, very strong. A man actually was born in Latin America, a man by name Gustavo Gutierrez. He wrote a book that was in 1971. That is just about every pastor has it in his office. And this is called, it says, A Theology of Liberation. And let me just say one phrase, and you can have an idea what this is. He says, let the social needs of the people dictate the agenda of the church. Again, I read it. Let the social needs of the people dictate the agenda of the church. How sad. What a tragedy. And so many pastors have adopted this crooked theology, this false theology, and that our responsibility is to feed the hungry and give shelter to the poor. And yes, we have to do that because our Lord Jesus Christ, He's our example. And remember, He cared about physical needs. Didn't He feed the 5,000? And the Apostle Paul, he cared about those needs. However, those are real needs. However, those people, that's not their main need. They need repentance of their sins. They need forgiveness. They need salvation. And it's very easy for us to be moved about as we see poverty and people in need. But let me tell you, we need to look and see how is their standing before Almighty God. And the Bible says, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So, you know, there's a verse that got to read sometime back. My wife showed that to me. This verse, I had read it, but really had not understood the meaning of it. But in Lamentations 3:51, it says, my eyes affected my heart. My eyes affected my heart. And dear people, we will never have compassion. Our hearts will never be broken unless we understand the condition of the unsaved. You will never be grateful to the Lord for your own salvation if you don't meditate, if you don't stop in a regular basis and understand what was your standing before God before coming to salvation. And as we read this verse here in Acts 26:18, it tells us, first of all, he says that unsaved people are blind. Unsaved people are blind. Look at verse 18 again, Acts 26:18. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Unsaved people are blind. And they have eyes, but they cannot see. And if you think of blind people, especially 2,000 years ago, one of the characteristics is that they were always hurt, you know, because they were always bumping all over the place. And isn't that where we stand? Just look around. Look around in our society. Maybe in your own family, your own relatives. Look at what's going on. And people are bleeding. People are hurt. And so many people, as soon as they bump into something, they fall, they get up, and they're already going to make another mess and get hurt emotionally, mentally, sometimes physically, but we need to understand that the people, unsaved people, are blind and they are very unstable. And that's why in Psalms 419, it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. Sometimes they are blind by their religion. Oh, Satan is good on blinding people by their religion. I'll never forget When I was a teenager going to Mexico City to visit my sister, and she took me to what is called the Virgin of Guadalupe Cathedral. And I'll never forget looking at all those people. I had no idea what they were doing, but there were people kneeling down, and they were going like this, and they had the rosary, and they were walking on their knees. And I started to pay attention, and I see all this stream of blood. And all these people were bleeding in their knees, and you could actually see their bones. And some, they told me that some of those people, when they went to the end, they had to end up in the hospital. And how sad, because they thought that that would somehow help them to better their relationship with God. And some people are blind by money, you know. As we look at their house, they have such a beautiful house, and they're doing okay. Yeah, they even go to church. They go to some church. I don't know what kind of church, but they go to church, and somehow they're gonna be good. No, they won't unless they're born again, unless they get saved, unless they understand salvation and respond to Jesus, to God's call. And so let's not ourselves be fooled, you know, and think that because people are religious or because people have they're doing good economically, they have a good job, that means they're doing okay. No, they're not, unless they are born again. And sometimes they're just blind by atheism. You know, Uruguay is known to be a very atheist, very indifferent country. How sad. And as a consequence, as you saw the presentation, so many suicides. It's like an epidemic. Young and old. I cannot think of anything more gross than present yourself before your Creator with your own blood in your hands. And we see that in Uruguay every day. You're always listening. I don't know, but it's like an epidemic. How sad. How sad. Well, it says 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shall shine upon them. But what a joy it is to see people be transformed by the gospel. People coming, he says, to come out of darkness into the light. And I can think of what's going on again with the rehab center. You know, some of those people, they've been in drugs for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You know, before I came, we had a 72-year-old man at the rehab center. His son was there, and his grandson. Three generations. What? How sad. It is really heartbreaking, but what a blessing to see these people come to know the Lord and see them starting to grow spiritually. And I really believe that God is going to give us pastors and missionaries out of those men. And some of those men are very serious about the Lord. Praise God. Please, it's a very difficult, very challenging ministry. Even here, our hearts are broken as we hear what's going on. And praise God, we do see many victories, but we see also many, many defeats. And we see Satan doing his tremendous struggles. But I got a picture this week of one of the men, Carlos Meyer, and sent a picture. And he said for the first time, he had not spoken to his dad in 5 years. He had not seen his brothers and sisters in 5 years. And yet he traveled to their city, the city of Maldonado. He made like a 5-year hour trip to meet with his dad. And they were there having lunch or dinner, I don't know what, together. And what a blessing. What a blessing. In fact, his mom, Carlos' mom, just got saved recently. And there's a good church over there in Maldonado, so she already started going to church. What a blessing to see people transform, change. I can think of the Jose and Alicia Villanueva. When we met them, they didn't want to hear it. My wife and I were talking to them, and so we gave them some literature, and they said, "No, you know, we're not going to read it. Thank you." But then I insisted, and I said, "Please take it. Listen, one day you're going to need it. Okay, just take it, put it somewhere." And okay, they grabbed it, and months later, maybe 6-7 months later, I was in a meeting. They called me. "There's this tall guy wants to talk to you." So he came out, and yeah, big, tall guy. And so he said, "You remember you came to our house, and we didn't want to hear anything. And now I'm divorced, big mess." He said, "This morning I got up, and I was getting ready to do something crazy. But then I remember that you had gave us a little booklet. So I knew where my wife had put it. So I went and I grabbed it and I read it. And there says here that there's hope for me. Would you please help me?" And say, "I'll be at your house in 10 minutes. And what a blessing it was to be there and share with him Christ. We knelt down and he cried and I also cried. And what a moment he got saved. And then it took about 3 years for his wife to get saved. But Jose and Alicia Villanueva, precious couple. The Lord made just a wonder. They had gotten divorced. Guess what? They got married again. Wow, what a blessing. And in fact, they have their son just became one of our deacons at the main church. Just got tremendous, tremendous what God, how God. So what a blessing it is to see people, lives transformed. When I think about that, I think of this song. I'm not going to sing it because you will walk out on me. But it says, "Oh, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light." You know that song? It says, "How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light." Unsaved people are blind. That's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. But it gets worse than that. Let's go back to the verse. He says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." Unsaved people, not only are they blind, they are under the power of Satan. Not all of them to the same degree, but they are under the power of Satan. And you know what? You were under the power of Satan before you came to know Christ. I was under the power of Satan. Boy, praise God for that wonderful day that we understood that we needed to repent and get saved. And thank you. Praise God for His mercy on us. But unsaved people are under the power of Satan. Again, as I think of what we have seen at the rehab, incredible just how powerful Satan is. I'm not, charismatic at all. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I have really changed many things that I had no idea. But you can see, I know this lady one time, she said, I believe in God. I don't believe in Satan. No, he's real. He's powerful. Now, he's not the all power, praise God, but he does have power. And we need to recognize that. And that is the reason. How else can you explain what has happened? And even this past few days, people loading up a machine gun or a rifle or guns and going and killing people that they have never even met. What about somebody loading all these guns and rifles and going across and going into a school of children, full of children, and just going there and killing those little ones that when we look at it, it's, oh, how cute. What about those that go and they put all this dynamite around their bodies and they blow up themselves because they want to kill as many people as possible? Who is behind that? Satan, the enemy. Unsaved people are blind. But unsaved people are under the power of Satan. Unsaved people, number three, are going to hell for all eternity. Verse 18, again, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. One day I was driving with a man from the church there, and we were going on the highway, and he cut wood. That's what he did as a business. And so he told me, you know, he will see a tree and tell me, you know, Pastor, you can point to this tree and I can tell you how much wood I could get out of that tree. And so I said, what about that one? He said, and then he will tell me so many feet of meters of wood. And I don't know if he lied to me or if he didn't, but he told me so many. But, you know, but that stuck in my mind. And, you know, I said, when we look at people, what do we see? And you know that everybody that we looked at, including every one of your relatives, the neighbors, co-workers, friends, they're either going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Either one of those places. Have you thought about that? Have you realized, you know? We ought to bring compassion to our hearts. That's why, as I said, we need to look at people on what is their condition before Almighty God. And it's not good. It's not good. And religion is not going to help them. Or morality, you know, maybe morality could keep them out of jail, but only trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of their sin is going to keep them out of hell. And we are to open our mouths. That's why we, as we read, remember I asked you to read verse 28. He says, then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What a dark verse. How sad. Here is this man, King Agrippa. He almost got saved. Almost. But he didn't get saved. At least at this moment. We don't know if he got saved later. But you know, there are so many people there, they think, oh, they almost get saved, but they do not get saved. They are as lost as the drunk or the people doing drugs. They're lost, and they're going to end up in hell. It doesn't matter how good or moral they are. And we need to do something about it. And here King Apostle Paul, he preached unto him. And he was there persuading him with all his power. And the word persuaded is like a fight, mind to mind. He was there as presenting him, telling King Agrippa, Jesus is the Savior. He can forgive you of all your sins. You need to turn to him and recognize that he is the Son of God, the Savior. King Agrippa almost, but yet he did not. You know, that reminds me of one day I got this phone call, and this lady, she said, are you from church? He said, yes. Oh, okay, good, because I got this little booklet somebody put under my door. And she said, you know, I don't go to church. I don't care about God. I don't believe none of that stuff. And I don't need it. He says, but my husband does. And he said, you know, I want you to, can you talk to my husband? He says, oh, I'm so afraid of him that he'll do something crazy. Can you come and talk to him? Maybe your religion can help him. So I said, okay, I will be this week. I'll come and visit. Said, no. He said, can you come today? I say, okay. I'll be there in a little bit. He said, okay. Well, I'm not gonna be here. He said, but so you can try to sit down, have a conversation with him. And so I did. I showed up, and the man came out, and he had a rope in his hand. So I said, okay, you have a cow. He said, no. Oh, okay. A horse. No. Said, well, so what are you going to do with that rope in your hand? He said, oh, I'm just getting it ready. I'm going to go and hang myself. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. Hey, can I come in? Can we talk? Yeah. We sat down. Can I tell you? For over 3 hours, I shared with him Christ. For over 3 hours, I pleaded with him. I said, you have been listening to Satan. He has messed up your life, and he's going to continue, and you're going to end up in hell. God has sent me. I hear this is what says, and I will read him scripture and quote scripture to him. And I was there. Can I tell you, I cried with him and pleaded with him and said, you're... And in fact, he kept working on that rope while I was talking to him. And I left. I was so sad. And the following day, I heard in the morning that a man was hanging at a bus stop. And how sad. You know, I immediately started, you know, feeling bad. In fact, I was maybe I should have continued talking to him. And, you know, I was really, in a way, happy when I read this verse. Because here it is again, the Apostle Paul, he persuaded. He was there with all his power and mind and prayer as well that this man will come to know Jesus. But yeah, he rejected Jesus. How sad. But you know what? Paul did his job. And I recognize, it took me a few days, but I recognize, well, I did my job. And, you know, that is exactly what the Lord wants us to do. You know, we have unsaved people all around us. As we talk about what's going to happen a week from today, what an opportunity. You know, there will be some people that maybe they will not come to church during the year, but they will come to Christmas and they will come to maybe Resurrection Day. And what an opportunity to invite him. Now, who's going to invite him? Where are they going to go? Are they going to go to the Catholic Church? Well, will they hear the gospel? What about the Mormon Church? What about with the Jehovah's Witnesses? What about in all these cults? We need to invite him. What an opportunity. Can I ask you this? Can I challenge you this evening? What about just whatever you go this week? Whatever you go. Hey, where are you going to church this Sunday morning? Hey, can I invite you? Yeah, why don't you come? Please, I'll be there. I'll be waiting for you. I'm going to be praying that you would come. What about making a list? Making a list. We do that as a habit in our church. You know, we're in a regular basis. We have a list of challenge our people to have a list of people that they're praying for. Who is praying for your unsaved neighbors? Who is praying for your unsaved relatives, your friends, your coworkers? If we're not, who will? They need the Lord. They don't look bad to be bad people, but oh, Satan is good with that, you know, that they're gonna make it. They won't, and then unless they repent of their sin.